Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections oder Excel-Superkräfte?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Ich fühle mich plötzlich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Abgabefrist 31. Juli.
Was?
Schaffst du ganz entspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Ach, ja.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On the big show today, a segment from the Bob Tribute Show. It's coming up in just a minute.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
For years, there have been products designed to help smokers to quit. Nicotine gums, pills, patches.
But what about us drunks?
Yeah, well, what about those of us who are alcohol? Those of us with drinking problems.
Hold on to your stools, fellas. Side Effects Laboratories, the same folks that brought you the Snort Choker, Comatosin Sleep Tabs, and Shake-A-Puddin', proudly introduces the first product to help you stop drinking. It's Licorette Gum.
Liquor what?
Licorette. It's the chewing gum that helps you stop drinking.
A gum? You gotta be shitting me.
I know it sounds too good to be true, but if you're trying to kick that nasty booze habit, don't go cold turkey. Merely pop in a piece of Licorette Gum when you feel yourself having a craving or the DTs.
Thanks for that glowing report, Todd. That's great news from the Midwest region. Now, Phil, tell us what's happening with your sales results.
Oh, God. I can't concentrate. My hands are shaking. I'm going to get canned for sure.
Luckily, Phil remembered his Licorette gum.
Oh, yeah. The gum.
Phil.
Well, let's see. I'll be the first to admit that this quarter we're a little upside down and...
Hey, let's go to Vegas. I'm driving.
Phil? Phil, are you okay?
I bet you got nipples the size of paper plates. You want to meet my junior salesman of the month, baby?
Oh, my God.
What do you think about that, eh?
That's Licorette Gum. You see, thanks to Licorette's unique combination of all-natural ingredients, cocoa leaves, morphine, dexedrine, sodium pentothal, a mild opiate, and a tiny drop of retsin, Licorette imitates the sensation of alcohol, the relaxed feelings, and the uninhibited attitude that allows you to be your best and do your best, all without the risks associated with drinking alcohol.
Thanks to this Licorette Gum, I ain't had a DUI in over 2.5 years. What was that?
Licorette Gum comes in several exciting new familiar flavors. Spearmint Julep, Juicy Fruit Rum Punch, Dentine and Tonic, Make Mine a Double Mint, Long Island Iced Tea Berry, Blackjack and Coke, and Jim Beamans.
Thanks to Licorette Gum, I haven't had a drink in 3 years.
Or a job.
Hey, baby, take off your top.
That's Licorette Gum. Side effects may include blackouts, missing time, explosive diarrhea, dry heaves, and tooth decay.
The difference is you only get 3 fingers in a bowling ball. And wait till I buy another 6-pack of this gum for my new best friend. Hey, take your top off.
Thanks, Licorette.
Now, some more Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
We are going to spend our morning talking about all the great stuff that Bob did. And we just want to, in his honor
have the tone of this show light and lively the way he would want it to be. So there are a lot of great moments both on and off the air. And as I said a couple times over the weekend, Bob had a great third act. You know that old phrase that Americans done it. Well, he did. It was after the Bob and Tom show 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago. Bob retired and it became the Bob and Becky show, or as I think he likes to call it, the Becky and Bob show. Now, let's get this straight: who's in charge? He had a great decade.
Yeah, that beautiful Airstream traveled all over the country. Yeah,
and I have a funny story about that. When I met Bob, it was up in Harbor Springs, Michigan. And the background of the story is Bob had been touring for several years with a group called the Young Americans. And the Young Americans were kind of sort of like an Up With People. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of young singers, dancers, actors, actresses, super talented. And
David Bowie sings about them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. They were the Young Americans.
That's them.
Yes.
And they put on plays, but their summer home was Boyne Highlands, which is a golf and ski resort near Harbor Springs. And
I would imagine not at the same time, really.
The golfing and the skiing?
Right. is there ski season, then golf season?
Sometimes they do crisscross. You'd be surprised. If you get that late snow. Open up the chairlift, Lloyd. We're going for it. Bob had been driving around the country for more than 3 years. And he got to Harbor Springs. And if you've ever been up there, Harbor Springs in August, you say, wait a minute, why am I living anywhere else than this place?
Mm.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And to put it in rock and roll terms, they say that the Bob Seger song Fire Lake is about standing in Cross Village looking across at the Mackinac Straits and stuff. Anyway, Bob landed there, and just by chance, I met him, and we ended up working together. But the point of the story is I can remember one time saying to Bob, one of these days I'm going to get an RV and I'm going to drive across the country. And Bob goes, I have driven across this country so many times. There is no effing way. And I'm being kind here. I will ever get in a bus or a van. I will never, ever do that again. Gets married to Becky and spends 10 years driving around the country. So you tell me what happened. I'm not so sure.
And there's no way in hell you would drive an RV around the country.
That's exactly correct.
When you two met, it was at a bar, right?
Yeah, I had gone to see the Jay Giles band. I had quit my radio job in Florida. I had to have pretty major surgery.
Oh.
So I went up to the University Hospital.
Was it your penis?
Was it your
answer the question. Penis?
Yeah. Was it your penis? Yes, I donated to Locks of Love. It's a subsidiary.
Right. Uh-huh.
I gave them an extra few inches. No,
very generous.
I went to Harbor Springs. Went to see the Jay Giles band. What was the name of that place? At a place called Castle Farms. It was sort of one of those outdoor, shed type venues. And
by the way, how old were you when you realized Jay Giles was the guitar player and it just wasn't like a Led Zeppelin thing?
Yeah, it was confusing.
I thought it was Jay Giles. Like
everybody did.
There's no Giles.
Yeah, Peter Wolf talks about that, though, that everyone thinks his name is Jay Giles.
Yep.
In any event, on the way back, I stopped at the Bar Harbor, which is right there by the pier in Harbor Springs. And I heard Bob. There was a pool table right there. I heard Bob, who I didn't know, was behind the bar.
Oh.
Working, and I heard him say something about, I think it was, hey, have they fixed the cart machine, whatever, some radio term.
Right.
And I said, are you in radio? And he went, yeah, I work at this radio station. I said, hey, I've got to get another job. Can I come over and look at the trade magazines? So there was a magazine called Radio and Records.
Yep.
Which, incidentally, Bob and I, 10 years later, would win their top prize. I didn't know that. Neither did he. I couldn't afford the magazine. So, when I walked in there to look at the trade magazine, I met the station owner and about 2 weeks later ended up running the place, which was a joke. And that place was I've told this story 1,000 times, but it's true. It's like that old skit. The FM radio was, they called the format Beautiful Music, mm-hmm. and it was on these big reels of tape. And Beautiful Music is, what it was, elevator music.
Elevator music, yeah.
Like Muzak, right?
Muzak,
yes. Yeah, kind of, all those terms are no longer even clear to people. It was like a Beatles songs played by the Holly Ridge Strings.
Yes.
No vocals.
All instrumental.
Yeah, just.
And put then, you to sleep music.
But and then you would put the breaks, the talking breaks, the commercials and stuff, you'd put them on these carts, and then there was this big, huge machine that would rotate them automatically when it worked, which was not all the time. I remember getting a call one night from a cop friend of mine going, do you realize you've just played 3 hours of commercials? Overnight. Oh, sorry. Went over and adjusted the machine.
Sponsors loved it.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah,
but the thing is, you would go.
I can't imagine you running that.
It was terrible.
You know, if it wasn't for Tom, I would be voted worst person in charge.
But but Bob and I would have to do the FM voice. You'd record them all. You'd record all the breaks. But you had to use your mellifluous, serious Michigan's beautiful north weather. Uh-huh. And talk like
that's
this.
Exactly right.
Tom, was Bob the morning guy when you met him?
No. He was the afternoon guy.
Oh.
But the comical thing was the AM station, this was just like WKRP. The AM station was kind of an upbeat sort of top 40-esque thing. So then you'd go in there and talk in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that eventually kind of switched, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny to do both those things.
Yeah, FM was an afterthought.
Yeah.
When I first got into radio, so yeah.
But our competition, there were two great stations up there. One was called KHQ and the other was WJML. I think they were both 100,000 watts. And the JML tower was on top of the aforementioned Boyne Highlands. And the KHQ tower, I believe, is the tallest structure in the Midwest.
Ooh.
You could see that tower everywhere. So there was some pretty good radio going on.
So you didn't start at JML?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, what were the call letters?
WMBN and WWPZ.
Huh.
Did you guys decide, hey, we've got a pretty good relationship, we should pitch ourselves as a two-man show? Or did somebody go, hey, I'd like to put you two together?
That's an interesting story
as
well.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but a couple quick stories on the AM. Bob and I would do a crossover, they call it, where he'd be finishing his shift and I'd be starting mine. We'd go back and forth.
So you did nights?
No, on the weekend, well, we were working 6-7 days a week.
Okay.
Right.
Eventually,
6 hour shifts.
Oh, yeah. And of course, we were getting paid by the hour. Then they realized, oh, wait a minute, instead of paying them whatever it was, $3 an hour, we can put them on salary and they can work 70 hours.
I like to go full time.
But it was fun. But I remember this. I'll see if I can figure out how to describe this on the radio. There was the main room, the AM room was a fairly small radio studio. You've seen a million radio studios. And there was a window to the left going to the outside. And then there was a window straight forward going to a very small little booth, about the size of a phone booth, although that's not a relatable anymore anyway, like the size of a small closet.
Sure.
And that and there was a microphone in there.
For the news guy.
Yeah, and there were no switches or anything. It was, you'd switch it in the main room. And mm-hmm. So I was the news reader. Hey, no laughing. And in those days, pre-digital screens, everything came, news-wise, came on a teletype.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a 200-foot roll of paper going through a typewriter, and you've seen this in the movies, and you walk up and you'd rip off the paper and read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the news in the little booth. You know, Bob introduced me, left the microphone on, and then I'm reading the news, holding these long sheets of paper, whatever it was, news and sports. And Bob comes in from behind me and sets the news on fire. So you can see the gravitas that I brought to the news. I wish I had a tape of me flapping the...
History was made.
Yeah. But to answer your question, Josh, Bob and I would do a lot of crossover stuff, and then eventually we did make a tape, which we sent to JML, the big station a couple miles away. And the guy that was running it hated us, so nothing ever happened. Well, he ended up quitting, the boss over there, and the new guy was cleaning out his desk. A guy named Mike Benson was cleaning out his desk because he was the new program director. He found the cassette and he hired us.
Oh, wow.
So dumb luck.
Wow.
And then it went on from there. But Bob and I had Bob technically was the music director
at JML.
At the other station. Yeah, the music director at JNL met a sad end that I won't talk about.
Okay,
right
well
now.
That's not.
Did
they brought it up?
Didn't somebody in the market send your tape out? So
eventually, yeah.
They didn't want you guys
there anymore.
Yeah, there was a what was it called? There was a convention. I think it was called the Superstars Convention. There was a big radio convention every year, and one of the groups would, unbeknownst to us, they would have a meeting called "Get the Talent Out of Your Market" or whatever.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the idea was if there was someone good in your city, mm-hmm. you'd bring a tape of them and see if someone would hire them away.
Ah.
Weird.
Which we didn't know. Yeah. We had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a flattering list to be on.
I guess.
Yeah. We had no idea. And I've told this story 1,000 times. I got off the air one day, and in those days, there was no voicemail. But I got off the air, and there was a stack of phone messages. I've always wanted to say 18 of them from radio stations all over the country.
And wow.
I thought, this is weird. Who are these people? And then this was the closest place we came here, and that was it.
Get the talent out of the market. I must not be very talented. I've been here 40 years.
Yeah. And I believe it was a station in Kalkaska, Michigan, a beautiful name. And I eventually would meet the guy that did that.
Did you thank him?
Yeah. I said, hey, yeah. That was cool. That was nice.
But you literally met Bob. He was working at a bar talking to someone else, and you overheard him, and then you stepped in.
If the car machine wasn't broken.
Of course he did.
I've been making fun of you for bothering people at restaurants for years.
Yeah. Look how that
I mean, out. It gave you a career. Yeah. Why would you ever stop doing that? I'm so sorry for being critical about that.
The other funny thing is Bob had 3 jobs up there. He was singing solo. In a bar at Boyne Highlands, he was really kind of a Jimmy Buffett sort of thing up there, and he was tending bar and he was working at the radio station. But when he applied to the radio station, he didn't know that the DJs and the engineers were one and the same, because he'd been running sound and lights for the Young Americans sometimes when he wasn't on stage. So he went over there and said, "Hey, do you need someone to engineer the sound?" And they said, "Well, you have to talk."
Oh, really? That's how that started?
We were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. He was saying, oh, he just thought, because you've seen in the movies.
They have the engineer guys talking on the
other
side.
The guy behind the glass.
Yeah, of course.
It hasn't been that way since, I think, Marconi.
Well, the bigger markets it was because they had, union rules and stuff.
Well, in any event.
Yeah, that's great.
So then the people there, when he came in, they said, "What, can you talk?" And he goes, "Yeah." So they had him read some news copy, and you're hired.
Cool.
So that's how he got into it. He had no intention of, and by way of background, I think that's why our show always worked, because neither of us had any idea what we were doing. So we just did what we thought was funny.
Preach.
And it worked.
Exactly right.
We didn't really base it on anything because we didn't know. And God knows, my mother thought it was so funny because I'd never gotten up before 10 o'clock in my life. When I was a senior in college, I seriously debated taking a fifth year rather than going to classes on Friday. My sophomore and junior year, I brilliantly engineered it, so I only had classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, nothing before 11.
Whoa.
Nice. I was in New York City. I had other things to do.
Yes.
By going to school. But yeah, that's kind of the background of how that all worked. And as I said earlier, he went off the last version, I guess it was technically chemo or whatever it was, just a couple months ago, he said, "I'm done with this." So the point being, his final couple of months were a lot more positive. He'd had some great spots in between, but also some real difficult times. So it was great and gratifying that he was feeling better. And he was able to join me on stage. We were given kindly the Kurt Vonnegut Humor Award a few months ago, and Bob and I were able to be together on stage for the last time, which was sweet. Anyway, I'm going to start.
You're good.
Tearing up.
It's all good.
Chick, do something.
I'd like to entertain you with my soft shoe routine.
Please.
That's okay. We've got email, of course, coming out of our ears this morning about Bob. And they are all pretty much this email from James in Oklahoma. Dear Bob and Tom Show, I am wearing an L.A. Dodgers cap today.
A lot of that. Yeah, Ace is wearing his, and good
choice, Ace.
I have one. It's tan, and I brought it, but I was afraid to put it on because it's not blue.
Doesn't count.
That's what I thought.
Well, I beg to differ.
Of course it counts.
Wait a minute.
What?
Boo.
Becky was wanted to show me something before I left on Friday, which was Bob's closet. How do I describe this? It has the history of hats.
Yeah, I bet it does.
I bet.
And wow. He has an L.A. Dodger hat in a number of colors, including the black L.A. Dodger cap he wore for his wedding.
Oh, that's right. He did.
So you're okay wearing a tan one.
And he's told me one time, I bought him by the case.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Dodgers, same place the Dodgers get their hats.
And he liked the fitted cap.
Sure.
Without the thing in the.
And he wore it because he was a tribute to his father.
Yeah, his father had worked for the Dodgers organization. And I'll paraphrase here. This is probably indelicate, but what am I going to do here? Bob would never wear the hat backwards unless.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay. Two things.
Okay. Unless he was dining.
No. Two things.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Becky, I'd turn the radio off.
If he was catching baseball.
I think Becky might know.
If he was half of a battery, he'd turn his hat around, and then the other thing.
Yeah, and that's my philosophy.
Enjoying a nice seafood dinner.
That's philosophy. Never, you don't wear your cap.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Hey, I'm Chris Van Vliet. Go behind the scenes and beyond the headlines with the biggest names in pro wrestling and beyond.
Mr. Sandman.
All I ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler. So I got to live my life
and make people really happy.
The Heartbreak Kid himself, Shawn Michaels.
Do you think there's anybody better than you were?
I think I was great at what I did, and I think other people were great at what they did as well. Greatness is more a mindset, I think, than anything else.
Mindset, motivation, insight with Chris Van Vliet. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.